is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning. Good morning, Bahamas. It is Wednesday, the 21st of April, 2021, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Remember, their real property tax forgiveness program runs until May 31st, 2021. So please call in, send them an email, check out their website to find out the details on the forgiveness program. It is a great program. Yesterday, we had a bit of a heavy discussion at the beginning of the show, addressing some topics around race and ancestry, around race really, and I felt the need to iterate, some sort of pointers or some rules about that I like to have about these sorts of discussions. And the most important part is that it is important to distinguish between race and ancestry or heritage, because race is a construct. It is mutable. It can change over time, over geography, over culture. Ancestry, it is what it is. There is no change in it. Your grandparents and your great-grandparents and your great-great-grandparents, they is who they is and who they was. You can't change that. I think that speaking about ancestry is more helpful, especially in a place like the Bahamas, where we have a multitude. We got this diverse mix of peoples, right? So see, I got this friend, she live in Abaco, right? This woman is a Bahamian. So she would be identified as a white Bahamian. She's called herself a red Bahamian because she don't identify as a white Bahamian. She does identify as a Bahamian of European descent, right? And for her, it's more helpful to talk about ancestry than it is to talk about race. So here's somebody who we would, and I would necessarily maybe identify as white, but she say, hey, I don't really use those types of terms to define myself. I think of myself as a Bahamian, and if there was a distinction to be made, I as a European descent Bahamian, right? The other thing that I pointed out was that this thing called whiteness, right, it doesn't care about ethnicity and race. And I use, we looked at indigenous spiritual practices. See, if you come to this conversation, right, in the middle of it, you'll just hear people say, oh, well, the white people destroyed African indigenous spiritual practices, and this is horrible. But the truth is that whiteness deconstructed, destabilized, and destroyed all indigenous practices, whether they were European or Asian or African, right? Because that is how it operates. So the reason that I wanted to point those things out yesterday and to reiterate them today, because they're very heavy sort of things, is we have to talk about these things, Bahamas. We have to find a way to have a conversation that involves everybody, right? If we continue to talk about race, we're not going to be able to have a conversation that involves everybody. But if we talk about ancestry, See, because I can recognize that I, Erin Green, have both African ancestry and European ancestry. Without a doubt, I can't hide it. And it don't make sense to hide it, right? That is who I am. And now I could talk to my nieces and nephews and my little children, if I decide to have some, about their heritage, because they too will be African and European descent. And that's a good thing. And we could talk about that. But see, we need to talk about things as opposed to tearing Ardwick down in the middle of the night, right? Instead of making decisions without the majority of us. We need to talk about things. And we need to trust that other Bahamians are ready and prepared to talk about them. We have to trust that we love each other enough, we respect each other enough, we appreciate each other enough to create a safe space for these conversations when necessary. We got to. We have to. Most importantly, we have to do this for young people. Because young people don't necessarily understand the rules or the perspectives we're using to make these decisions. We got to involve everybody to the table. Can't be making these young people feel like they don't belong, man. It's too much of that. It's too many young people that are leaving, that want to leave, that want to quit. And I know some, I can be honest with y'all, I know some who are ready to leave this plane because they feel like they're being told all the time they do not belong. Anyway, we ain't got no more time for that, people. This is a new Bahamas. This is a new dispensation. And we're going to do things differently in a way that creates space for everybody. Well, today is the 21st, and that means tomorrow is the 22nd, World Earth Day. And that's a really, really big day for all of us to pay attention to and to celebrate. And let me give you a list of some activities that are happening tomorrow on World Earth Day. There is an extended public consultation on Disney's EIA, that's Environmental Impact Assessment, for Lighthouse Point. It starts at 6 p.m. There is a Zoom link, and you can contact me off air, maybe on Facebook, for the link for the meeting. Also, something we discussed yesterday, the University of the Bahamas is hosting the Small Island Sustainability Earth Day Research Program. They're having two sessions. One is a short film screening and panel discussion starting at 10 a.m. And the second is a panel discussion starting at 1 p.m. It is going to be a fabulous discussion, and I had the opportunity to see two of the films on the lineup, Antonis and Bodies of Water, and they are fabulous. Not only are they beautifully produced, like shot and constructed image-wise, the content is just fascinating and gripping. You're going to love it. The third event is happening on April 28th. That is the Blue Economy Virtual Think Tank, and that is 9 a.m. to 4 a.m. From Small Island State to Big Ocean Nation. Go online, look for it. Look for it so that you could register ahead of time. It is going to be great. Arlington, I'm going to read these two texts, and then maybe we could go to a quick break, and then we're going to introduce my guest for today. I'm really excited about this show, and you're going to find out why in a moment. So here's that text. Well, thank you, Texter. Says, great show as usual, Ms. Green. I don't mean to complain, but the U.S. media have all kind of technology. So how come they don't know NASA is not the complete Bahamas? Why can't our media group educate them or show them a map? Because the media, I would hate to believe, they that dumb to not know NASA is not the entire Bahamas. See, it isn't our media's fault, right? And to some extent, it isn't the U.S. media's fault, like those individual people either. But this is the thing we're talking about. You see, like when I was talking about the white imagination yesterday, there's another thing. It's called like the big nation imagination. These big nations, they don't think about us little small nations the way you think they should think about us. They don't really care that much. You know, they're excited to be here. But to make a distinction between Nassau, New Providence, Eleuthera, Cat Island, they don't know enough. They don't. But don't. You can't get upset at that, you see. Because you'll always be upset, because they'll always be a bigger nation. And there'll always be this sort of disregard for us little people and us little countries. But what we do is we can, instead of allowing the Ministry of Tourism to be our main liaison between the U.S. and other nations, we need to have a unit that is constructed of cultural stakeholders and, I want to say, politicians, but not in a traditional sense, governance stakeholders and industry stakeholders to engage and communicate, right, with the U.S. media and, of course, media personality. Maybe if we take it out of the whole process, out of the tourism imagination, right, you would see a different type of engagement. And that's what I mean. Like, when the people who are responsible for tourism are responsible for these things, they focus on the things that are important to them. They sort of focus on the discussions that are important to them. And maybe we need to change that up a little bit. Not that they're doing a bad job, because they is not. Ministry of Tourism is doing a great job. I got my another text. Miss Green, how are you? Too straight. Well, look here. I was not too straight this morning. Would you believe I kinked my neck in my mango tree? I was doing patrol. I was guarding my mango tree. You know why? Mangoes are almost full. The raccoons are trying to eat them, so that means watch your mango tree. Don't let the rats and the raccoons get to your mangoes before you get a chance to get to your mangoes. But I spent a long night in that tree standing guard, and I wish I had something cold and frothy to keep my company. After the break, I'm going to introduce you to my guest today from the Bahamian Brewery Company. Arlington, let's roll to that break.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs. Offer ends May 31st.
For the past 33 years, Great Commission Ministries has been defending the poor and hurting, feeding the hungry, and sheltering the homeless. We invite you to support our Live to Give program and make a difference in these challenging times. Become a donor by giving a one-time annual gift or a monthly donation of $50 or $100. Call Great Commission Ministries at 325-5801 for more details. Or visit our headquarters at 237 Wolf Road. Join Live to Give today. This public service announcement is proudly sponsored by this radio station.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning, Bahamas. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Remember, we're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen in on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices. And listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can also text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-4796. 422-4796, and that's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. That's why I try to read all your texts. You can call us at 323-6232. That's 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. That's why I try to get to all of your calls as well. So this morning, I have two representatives from the Bahamian Brewery Company on my show. Now, over the last couple of weeks, y'all may have heard me say that I have a small agribusiness. I got a small business making local things. And so I was excited at the opportunity to bring another not so small business on to talk about their journey. But not just any business. As you know, the Bahamian Brewery Company that produces Sans Beer has had a bit of a tumultuous journey post Dorian. And so I thought, wow, I would love to hear the comeback story. How has Sands, how has Bahamian Brewery Company gotten back on their feet and pushed this journey forward? But is even more exciting news, right? This is Environment Month. And I know you all have heard me talking about bottles. And why are there all of these bottles all over the place? Well, it turns out that Sands Beer, the Bahamian Brewery Company, has a bottle buyback or a bottle recycling initiative. And so you know I had to get them on. Not just in the, because it's Environment Month, and I'm all about conversations about upcycling, recycling, repurposing, what they call it, zero net waste, about waste reduction, but it's agriculture time, right? And so, and it's tomato season, in case y'all didn't know. And so I'm sitting here, a ton of tomatoes, a ton of bottles, and no cappers, no machines to cap the bottles once you put the tanks in it, right? And so my heart was bleeding for all of these bottles just sitting on the side of the road. Ain't nobody doing nothing with them. So to hear that Sands Beer, the Bahamian Brewery Company, has a bottle buyback program, I am over the moon. It's like three of my favorite things at one time. Getting tipsy, that's for y'all adults, that's called half cut, not fully cut. Right? You too intoxicated to get in your car, but you're not too intoxicated to cook dinner. Right? That's that point. I love it. Right? That's my favorite thing. You're talking about upcycling, recycling, right? And then you're talking about Bahamian success, Bahamian businesses recovering on their own through their own steam. Anyway, I am excited. Good morning, Ms. Chris Duncombe. And Mr. Joel Smith.
Good morning, good morning.
Now, please introduce yourselves.
So I'm Chris Duncombe. I'm the trade marketing supervisor for all of the BBB brands, which would be Sans, Sans Light, High Rock, Strong Back, Bushcrack, Triple B, Pink Sans, and the Passion Sans.
Okay, and so, that's trade.
So I will be doing, as a trade marketing supervisor, I will be doing all of the marketing initiatives as well as sales. So all of the marketing, branding, everything for Sands, including events and also trade deals, sales, would come through me.
Well, look here, we have to get back to that because I make commercial. And I know plenty Bahamian who could make commercial.
Okay.
Right? They just don't know they could make commercial yet. Good morning, Mr. Smith.
Good morning. I'm the trade marketing supervisor for AB Brands, which is Anheuser-Busch. So similar to what Chris said, I do the exact same thing, but only on brands such as Budweiser, Bud Light Platinum, Corona, Modelo, Presidente, Stella Artois, all these brands. Those are my brands.
And they come under the Bahamian Brewery?
Yep.
Correct.
All under the Bahamian Brewery right. umbrella.
Okay, so when this business started, mm-hmm. and I can say, well, in the true tradition of things Bahamian, what you find is that businesses don't just pop up out of the blue.
No.
For many people, they create a business, right? But it's really rooted in a culture that's older than them. Mm-hmm. Like it's something that their family used to do for mm-hmm. a while or used to do, you know, for a long time.
Yeah.
Even for me, you know, I'm a Chicchani catcher. And I do sell Chicchanis. And my great-grandfather used to sell Chicchanis to tourists. Now, audience, this Mr. Smith is a very serious man. And he looking at me like, he sure next I can try sell him Government House, right? But I telling you the truth, right? My great-grandfather used to sell tourists Chicchanis. And this is documented in the media. So I don't just talk foolishness out of the blue. I come from a long line of comedians and people who talk foolishness, right? And so I think the same thing with the Bahamian Brewery Company. It didn't just start in 2008 when mm. they officially launched the company, and it mm. didn't just start in 2006 when they had the first Name Your Beer competition. Mm-mm. I think it Mr. Sands came from, well, you if you want, you can tell us a little bit.
So Mr. Sands definitely did come from a beer and alcohol background. His family was involved in other distributors that were popular on this island at some point in time. Mm-hmm. And when they decided to go their separate ways, he decided to invest into his own beer company and his own distributorship, which ended up being the Bahamian Brewery and Beverage Company.
Oh, man, look here. That's so, see, for me, that's an awesome model, right? Mm-hmm. I'm what you call an anti-imperialist, anti-capitalist advocate. And so I'm always wary of large foreign direct investment. But for a small island developing state, mm-hmm. sometimes the best way forward is to partner, right, mm-hmm. with investors. Grow your business sustainably until you can establish a sustainable model on your own and then grow it,
yep.
right? So I love that as a business model. And maybe it's something that younger Bahamians don't realize we have been doing traditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it ain't just hit a lick and start a business. It's deeper than that. It's right. about building connections, establishing what your people do, mm-hmm. and then building connections until you could do it how you want to do it.
Right.
So let's get to that 2006 Name Your Beer competition. So first of all, when y'all gonna have another Name Your Beer competition?
I'm not sure if you'll have another Name Your Beer competition, because right now we're very much focused on getting our original beers back up to their 100% what they were doing prior to Dorian. But maybe in a year or two, who knows what can happen? Who knows what we have in the future? We may have another product that we might want to launch, and there may be a little competition. But as for now, I can't.
Yeah, Dear Bahamas, when they launch they Gnep beer, just know where they get the idea from. Right, but that's a great, that's also an important part of a business model, right? Mm-hmm. Like, science have the capacity, I expect you to do new things all the time, but really what you guys want to do is focus on revitalizing yes. what exists.
Yes, because right. we have numerous brands that loved by Bahamians, but we were also out of the market for maybe 2 years yeah, with the combination of right. Dorian and COVID. So a lot of our consumers have started drinking other things. And so we just need to make sure that we can get back to providing them what they originally fell in love with and get right. that back on before
because
we add on
something. I didn't want to tell y'all I was mad at y'all. Right, I didn't want to tell you all that I you forced me to go drink other things till I could get back to you. But this is an important part of business, right? Mm-hmm. Is focusing on your market share and focusing on your customers.
Yes.
And getting them back. So tell me about marketing, right? How much energy? Well, this has been a large journey from 2019 mm-hmm. when Dorian hit to now, right? I'm interested in it. I know Bahamians are interested in it. Not only am I interested in how the business is recovering, but how the family of people, right, are recovering. And so let's not necessarily talk about the damage, right? But when did the brewery, when did the businesses officially reopen?
It officially reopened last year, October. Mm-hmm. But it originally was scheduled to reopen in April. But okay. that's when COVID hit, and we had to send all the BrewTech guys that, because we actually fly people down from Germany to right. actually rebuild the brewery. So what happened was when COVID hit, we had to send everybody back.
Okay.
So
yeah.
that postponed everything, but we actually officially launched our beer the first week of October.
That's awesome.
Right.
Tell me about the slogan, because I know there's this grand marketing campaign mm-hmm. for you guys to come out. Tell me, remind us of the slogan, and then tell me about that marketing campaign. Like, where did the ideas come from? Did you draw them from the wider public, from the family of staff, or did you rely on a particular marketing team whose name you don't have to call?
I think we just went with what the product actually is, the Truly Bahamian Bear. It is the only Truly Bahamian right. Bear in mm-hmm. the market, and that alone is what we live by. It's a company owned by Bahamians, 100%. Operated by Bahamians,
100%.
For Bahamians. We give back to the Bahamas and to Bahamians. It's just the Truly Bahamian brand.
Absolutely. So have all of the operations moved to New Providence? or are you able to work in, is there still some work going on in Grand Bahama?
Yeah, there's still work going on in Grand Bahama. I mean, the only thing that we really did in terms of bringing workers here was what I said, bringing workers here. But essentially, the brewery is over there. The main warehouse is over there.
Oh, okay.
Right, right. Okay. But we also have our warehouse over here, but our management team in Nassau, we basically oversee all the sales and marketing aspects of all the islands, which includes Grand Bahama, Eleuthera, and Abaco.
Okay, no, so I was under the impression that the devastation was so severe that you moved all of your operations to New Providence, but that's not the case.
No, that's not the case.
So most of the damage that we experienced was from flooding. Like, right. All the structural was still in place, but a lot of our equipment, especially the electronical equipment connected to the brewing machines, were at ground level. Okay. So when the flooding happened, we were just incapable of making beer.
Okay, I understand that. Because I thought, you know, like a lot of people would have had to have moved to New Providence to continue working with the company, but that's not the case.
No, that's not the case. Actually, we had our team in Grand Bahama that actually stayed to start cleaning up the brewery.
Right.
Because you can imagine 10 feet swells.
Oh,
flooding
yeah.
the brewery. All our pallets of beer were toppling over. So we had to salvage what we could have salvaged.
Yeah.
And ship it to Nassau. So we had a team in Grand Bahama. The Grand Bahama team was still there.
Straight through.
Right.
And then slowly built up now that the factory is reopened.
Right.
Yeah.
Because see, I know Family Island people, well, I appreciate a company that tries its hardest to retain staff, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Through disaster. And that's how you build industry and community. But I know that Family Island people, Nassau are nice, but they love where they're from. And so this opportunity to return back home
yep.
is a wonderful opportunity. Okay, so what's next, right? I see, we can talk about the bottle buyback program, mm-hmm. right? And I see that as a social initiative, but that's sort of separate, right? Mm-hmm. That's environmental, that's social, that's even economic, right? Because it has a great impact on the economy.
Mm-hmm.
But what other social initiatives does Sans Beer have on tap for us right now?
So right now, I think we're still sort of brainstorming some things mm-hmm. because with the unstable environment right now with
right.
COVID,
yeah.
it would be irresponsible of us to plan to have certain events by a certain time period mm-hmm. when right. we're still unsure as
right.
to how things are going to progress with COVID. But we are definitely thinking about some music festivals, a lot of things that are just culturally mm-hmm. Bahamian. Mm-hmm. Because one thing we have noticed is with the younger generation, I can say this because I'm from that generation, we are sort of losing touch with some of those cultural things that our parents grew up with. And we just want to bring that back in as the truly Bahamian Bear. We can just have more things like a little rake and scrape festival mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And include these young Bahamian artists and mm-hmm. everything to just continue that whole theme of being truly Bahamian.
Right. And creating a space where artists feel safe enough, mm-hmm. both sort of financially, right? Like I can do this and I know I can survive.
Mm-hmm.
And safe enough culturally, like I could try new things and people ain't gonna kill me, right?
Exactly.
Right.
For it. But the space where young people can preserve culture and at the same time grow it.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
Like not feel forced to have to cling to the old things,
mm-hmm.
but also don't feel like, oh, I'm a young person. I must have to get rid of these things.
Exactly. Right.
Now, like when I started the show, I tell you, these two young people, they very young. Now, when I say very young, I don't mean like inexperienced or, you know, nothing like that. I just mean they look like they're young. So tell me, is Sans creating a space for young people, right? Is this a company that is open to bringing young people into this industry and in training them and employing them and growing the industry with young Bahamians?
I would definitely say that.
And should I be worried as an old person that y'all may be discriminating against us young people?
No, Ma, we don't discriminate at all. It's just that it's just a young company.
Yeah.
That's essentially what it is. We try to encourage promoting from within. And
yeah.
obviously we are a young company, as I mentioned. So a lot of people there are actually young.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a young company.
Well, that's great. No, man, that's great. Because, you know, especially like we get this young professional housing program, and a lot of older people feel a bit put off, like they're being left out of the run. But it is important to create environments, but not where you privilege young people, but you prioritize them
and give them a little push.
Right. And so I could say to young people, go check out the company and see what the employment opportunities are. And then what you do is you go and look at the education options available to take advantage of those employment opportunities, right? Like that's how you're supposed to do it. So we're not focusing on new products now. Mm-hmm. So I could hide my Gannett beer idea. I'm a farmer. I grow ideas. Mm-hmm. And I steep people fruit. That's how I farm, same thing. I am compelled to ask a company like Sands, right? Mm-hmm. How can I convince a medium to large-sized manufacturer like the Bahamian Brewery Company to partner with farmers and vendors to manufacture agriculture-based products? Now, see, that's what I into. So when you talk about like new products and new initiatives in a small island developing state, right, where access to capital and resources are limited, right, and everybody, like the government place, everybody fighting for a piece of the government place,
right?
How do I now as a farmer get access to an industrial space, right, without necessarily having the capital to build it myself? So this is an idea that I'm throwing out to y'all to take back to the big bosses.
Yeah.
I know y'all can't come on the radio and say, yes, Mr.
I can't give an official answer.
Because it would depend on a lot of factors, including the availability of the bottle line and our cleaning process. We also have to make sure that our manufacturing process is done before we add on additional manufacturing. But anything is possible, and who knows what can happen in the future.
You better believe it. I could be out there with a lorry. When y'all see me pull up with a lorry full of Gannett, right? Or a lorry full of sea grape, just know this woman come. She's serious. She come to come bottle something.
You never know.
Right? But it's yesterday we talked a lot about imagination as well. And creating an environment where people can imagine beyond what they thought was possible, right? So I want you to know I ain't come here to beat you up with idea, right, or to force idea, but just have y'all sitting here today made me imagine something that I know was probably not on anybody's radar before, right? Okay, so let's get to the bottle buyback program. Is that what it's called? Because that's just what I call it.
It's the bottle buyback program. That's exactly what it's called. So we've been doing bottle buyback from the very beginning. From we first opened the brewery, we've been doing bottle buyback. We took the initiative to spend extra on our glass bottles to make sure that they are recyclable. So through the bottle buyback, we get back at least 65% of the bottles that we put out into the Bahamas.
65%?
So, yes, and those bottles can be reused up to 50 times. Under perfect circumstances.
Wow. Okay. So now, you are retaining or receiving 65% of what you put out into the market. Mm-hmm. That's a great number, I think.
Yeah.
Like just on the surface. What types of which ones of the products are recyclable? Is it all the bottles in the Bahamian line?
Yes, there'll be all the bottles in the Bahamian line with the exception of Triple B.
Triple B, right.
So that's your Sands Light, Sands. Sand, Pink Sands, Passion Sands, Strongback, and High Rock. You can bring them all in, and we give you $2 per case at our Nassau Street store and $1.50 per case at our Airport Industrial Park store and our East Bay store.
Right.
Okay, so
And then also the brewery, of course, in Freeport.
Now, let me just say this. People who know about buying and selling bottle, they know all the answers to the questions I'm about to ask, yeah. Right? So I want those people to sort of be patient. I know there's some information you want and some information you know. There are a lot of people who don't know. So some of the questions may seem simple. So it's $2 per case.
At Nassau Street.
At the Nassau Street location.
Or Grand Bahama.
Right.
Or in Grand Bahama. Mm-hmm. And $1.50 a case at Airport.
Airport Industrial Park and East Bay Jimmy's.
And East Bay Jimmy's. All right. Now, when I bring you this case, is there a minimum number of cases I need to bring?
So, at the East Bay and the AIP stores, it's a maximum of 5 cases. But at Nassau Street and the Bury, there's no limit. So if you come, we have people who come with a whole pallet of used bottles that they are turning back in. So
it's a minimum 1 case. Don't just bring 20 bottles.
It has to be in a case. And it doesn't matter which box the case is in. It just has to be 24 bottles in a box.
All right. Now, this is a very important part. It could only be sans bottles, though, right?
Yes.
Only bottles in your family of beer.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Because those are the ones that we paid the money on to make sure they're recyclable.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's business sense, right? Mm-hmm. So here's what has happened. There used to be a bottle buyback program from one of the other companies.
Mm-hmm. I think we heard about that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. And it stopped. Mm. And a member of my community, Mr. Ferguson, he owns a liquor store and bar. He was very concerned because he could feel it, right? Bottles that he would have recycled just sitting there. And because he's so intimately familiar with the space in the industry, everywhere he goes, he could tell the difference between a bottle that has been discarded and a bottle that was prepped to be sold and has now been discarded, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you could see it. And so he brought it to my attention, not just as a business owner, but he was primarily concerned about the environmental impact, the positive impact that the recycling programs have, and then the negative impact that he's seeing now that they were canceled.
Yeah.
So it's a big, big thing. And the people who buy and sell bottles, some people like Aaron, what you talking about? $2 a case is people paying school fee.
Yeah, they add up. They definitely add up.
Yeah,
right. And if you know, you know. In fact, there's a house in Golden Gates I drive by, right? And I was looking at the mango. They had the prettiest purple pink mango on their tree, and I spying these mango hard. And the woman catch me spying the mango. So you guys do the polite thing and just let her know, ma'am, I was just looking at the mangoes and praying you would give me one when they ripe, right? And she said, oh, child, you could have a mango. I thought she was looking at my bottles because that's where her real money is.
Yes.
Yep.
Right? And she let me know that. Okay, so let's get back to this. It has to be a case.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So a minimum of 24 and in a case. Mm-hmm. Do I have to clean them in any way?
No, because we have our own cleaning process. So we clean the bottle. We clean all of the bottles. We have a nice little cleaning system. If you ever have the opportunity to do our brewery tour, you'll see that we have a wonderful cleaning system. Mm-hmm. And in that cleaning system, after the bottles have been cleaned, it actually is scanned to make sure that they are good to be reused. So the only ones that are discarded are the ones that have like scratches or any bit of like marking that will come off.
Right.
So, for the most part, out of the bottles that are returned, maybe 2% of them end up being discarded in the end. So, it's still a lot of cost savings and a lot of environmental saving, basically.
Well, yeah, a removal of waste. So, let's just talk about that 2% for a moment, right? Because you use the word discard, and I love that word. Because she don't really mean discard, right? What she means is, there's an opportunity for industry, right, or for construction. So even though the bottle may not be suitable for your specific purposes, may not reach the quality standards required for the reselling of a bottle, that bottle could possibly be used in several other ways, right? It doesn't just have to go to the landfill. So this is not necessarily a conversation for sans right now, but for people who are interested, think about that, right? We got a couple of options available to us. We can take these bottles and use them in construction for things like walls, not walls of homes, but decorative walls or structural walls around your property, right? And garden accessories, like you can build a cement and glass bottle wall where the sun shines through the bottle, right, and throws shade. Or if you have a larger pursuit, right? And I say this mainly to young people who are looking for something to do, how to start their way. Mm-hmm. You too can recycle bottles. You could collect those bottles that have been collected and discarded for that particular purpose, mm-hmm. and you could reship them back to the States. You could say, you could write, you know, get a co-op and write signs and say, dear sirs and madams, we would like to come to an agreement where we can capture these bottles that you are discarding for this purpose. How can we work together? Right? Mm-hmm. This is awesome. So let's just talk a little bit more about the buy back program. How do I get paid?
So you get paid on the spot.
What? You sure?
Yeah.
Ain't no receipt?
So once you turn in your bottles, there's someone there to collect it.
They count
how many cases. Mm-hmm. They tell you what your total is going to be. You go around to the front store and you get your funds. I think a lot of our bar and restaurant owners who take part in the buyback program, they just give us the money right back through purchasing, through restocking.
Yeah.
But, yep, it's right there on the spot. Okay. No come back in 3 days or anything like that. You bring your bottles, you get your money, you can spend it however you please. Yep.
Right. So, like, I catch Chic Chinese and I's Bohemian, so I like to teach people ideas. And I like to piggyback on other people's ideas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to throw this out to Sans. Is Sans interested in facilitating or supporting other types of bottle and glass buyback and recycling programs? Let me throw that out there. Or is it something that's in the works?
I feel like currently we sort of have our hands full with our recycling program,
yeah.
But we do support initiatives where they do recycling of cans, because we currently don't have the facility to do that, and we also have can bears, etc.
So we support
those foundations or organizations that do can recycling.
And I know NPCC is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Cans for Kids.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So if I'm buying Sans products in the can, like mm-hmm. Triple B or Bushcrack or anything that comes in the can, they can also be recycled, but not directly with Sans. They can be recycled with other local aluminum recycling partners.
Yes, ma'am. Right.
Oh, man, this is awesome stuff. Man, look here, y'all so young and happy. I don't even want to pressurize y'all with these questions. But I got a question here for y'all that I didn't put on the list, right?
Okay.
Y'all are young people. The Bahamian Brewery Company is a company rooted in and sort of launched from Grand Bahama, right? A family mm-hmm. island. I never asked y'all if y'all is family island people, right? If you grew up on a family island or if you Nassau people working for the Bahamian Brewery Company. But I got this question for you young people working in, you know, one of the most innovative industries in the country,
mm-hmm.
right, with the expansion of products. What would the country look like if we let family island imagination and thinking drive the country? Because I see the Bahamian Brewery Company as a product of family island imagination,
mm-hmm.
you know, and determination and initiative. Or is y'all Nassau people like me?
Well, I'm from Nassau.
Yeah.
I also identify as a Nassau person,
yeah.
but I spent a lot of time in the family islands. My mother was very happy to ship me to a different island every opportunity
summer.
That she got. But I feel that in the family islands, they have this sort of resilience mm-hmm. to survive. Because I guess because of the lack of infrastructure and they have such a disconnect to the capital. Every time I go to visit, it's like you always see somebody up to something, doing something, and the idea of this isn't going to work doesn't seem to cross their mind. They're going to keep doing it until it does work, or they're going to adapt to make it work because it has to work. They need it to work.
It has to work.
It has something got to give. Like
it has to work. And that's what I think about when I decide to ask that question. Right. I grew up. I was a Nassau people, mm-hmm. but I grew up every summer at a summer camp, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, another one of those things is every time this bus of some of children from Nassau and the other islands moved through a settlement, anytime we were moving and we passed people, they hail. Mm-hmm. They put their hand up, they nod their head, they look you in your eye. There is this degree of acknowledgement, mm-hmm. right? And I think that the spatial awareness and the empathy that that displays, right, is something that we should be modeling in New Providence.
Yep. I agree.
I agree completely.
And I think it would even change the way that we do business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I say, the buyback program, it ain't just economic. It isn't just sort of in environmental. It's also about community and spatial awareness, right? I see what I'm producing. I see what I'm putting in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And even though legally I'm not responsible for it, I know that I'm partially responsible for its presence.
Yeah.
So I'm going to create a program or a way to remove that or to make it useful.
Right.
And not just for me. Right? Because y'all could go out and hire. You could take your own staff and tell them, look here, your job is to just go out here.
And
collect bottles.
Right.
Right, you'd be like me, the type of chick Johnny catch I am. I go into people's houses and say, "Miss, you don't want to pay me? You don't want to pay me to pick up these bottles for you, eh?" See, I can be like the construction people. Let me tell y'all young people a story about this town, right? This limestone, this rock that we're on, this thing valuable bad, right? But here's what's been happening over the decades. Contractors, when you go to the contractor and say, I ready to build my house, this is my lot. Mm-hmm. He go in there and he say, "Oh, miss, look at that. I can clear out all that rock. We can move all that rock. You can't grow no grass. You can't grow no tree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ain't gonna have the grass. You can walk barefoot like the people on the TV. You can't do none of that with this rock, miss."
Yeah.
So they convince you to pay them to take the rock out of your yard. And then they take it to somebody who can buy it back from them, right? That's Bahamian tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So if you catch me trying to buy your bottles from you, Don't Rama. Don't Rama. Just say, "Miss Green, do better and give the money to charity." Right? But the company could have done that. The company mm-hmm. could have said, "Look, we're going to hire a four-man team, and your job is to just go out there and retrieve the bottles." But instead, we create a mechanism where people can benefit, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes benefiting from your hard work. A lot of people who collect bottles don't even drink.
Exactly. Right. And we really just wanted to help give back to the community in a positive way. We've had stories where people come and tell us they recently got laid off and they've just been using returning bottles as a way to keep food on their tables during hard times. We've had bars and restaurants where they're like, during COVID, they probably would have closed down if it weren't for getting some sort of funds back through the bottle buyback program and being able to keep their business afloat, basically.
Yeah.
So it's helping in various different factors across the community. So that's not something that we want to get rid of anytime soon.
Oh, no, without a doubt. And if y'all get rid of it, I can be a billionaire. I can be a billionaire. Okay, so let's go back through the details for the buyback program. Mm-hmm. That's the most important part. Like I say, the people who know about buying and selling bottle, they know. But for people who never heard about it and who are interested, right, it's also a great thing for young people, right? It's a great mechanism to get started in organizing something, right, and strategizing around something and making a little money. And what a great way to balance it, right? Because I, as an advocate, I'm very concerned about alcohol consumption, overconsumption, alcohol abuse, and in particular, driving safer roads.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to focus on that in this discussion because if you had a show, I'd focus on bad drivers all the time. But what a wonderful way, right, to show social responsibility, to say, look, we are aware of our presence in our community and we're going to ensure that we govern ourselves and we clean up after ourselves. So anyway, let's get into those details. $2 a case at Nassau Street and at the Grand Bahama Depot, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. $1.50 a case at the Airport Industrial Park store and the East Bay Street Jimmy's location.
Right.
Then it is a minimum of one case and a maximum of 5 cases at the
East Bay store.
At the East Bay store.
And AIP.
And AIP. Right. Maximum 5 cases.
Mm-hmm.
And at the Nassau Street and the Grand Bahama Depot is unlimited.
Yes.
Unlimited. Okay. This is great. I've had, I've had a number of people asking also about what they could do over the last about 6 or 7 months. Mm-hmm. What do I do with my bottles? Who is collecting bottles? So we know people have been asking. People, even though they never really articulated, it's something that they were aware of. And then when it was missing, they felt its absence. So it's great. Any other details about the program you want to highlight?
Yes, we forgot that the hours that we do the bottle bar.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, let's not forget that because we don't want nobody coming up and we're closed and we're not accepting bottles. So for the East Bay Street location, that's during normal store hours, which is 10 to 6. Same for the AIP location. As for Nassau Street, it's only on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays between the hours of 10 to 2.
Okay.
When it comes to Freeport, it's only on Mondays and Fridays from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. And don't bring your bottle and leave a note.
No.
Don't be like, my name is Aaron Green. I left these bottles here at 12 p.m. I'll be back tomorrow for my monies. It ain't going to work like that.
Put it in an envelope.
Right. Somebody going to take those bottles and they can redeem them on their own behalf.
Exactly.
And I don't blame them.
Yeah.
They'll add it to
they probably
bottles.
Need it more than I need it.
And then you'll lose out. So.
Yeah. And they probably need it more than I need it. Okay, so we are right out of time. Thank you for coming on the show today. And I want to say to Sans, thank you for sending me 2 energetic young people, right, to talk about an energetic young company. I'm pleased to see, I could see it, right? There are opportunities for young people in this country when young people feel like it ain't nothing for them here,
exactly.
Right? And so this is great. But also, in the middle of April, Earth Day is tomorrow. It's Environment Month. The opportunity to discuss such a wonderful program. And also, let's not forget, if you're purchasing the aluminum products, right, that you can also recycle them with one of our local aluminum recyclers who's partnering with, or that Sands is partnering with and directing their customers to. I only know of one right now, and I think that's NPCC. But check it out and as well, encourage your employers, the businesses you work for, the hotels you work for, to also engage in real recycling programs.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, people, we got to go. Chris Duncombe, Joel Smith from the Bahamian Brewery Company, thank you very much. When y'all having y'all commercial and y'all marketing campaigns and y'all name your new product campaigns, y'all have to call me because y'all don't know who I is. I's the VAT soap woman. I's make soap to bathe dirt off your children.
Well, hey, we definitely won't forget you.
No, but I's make soap so you could bathe every day and drink a beer. Value for money. Anyway, I'm only trying to tease y'all young people. It's been a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Please support this exciting program. And if you're not supporting it, let somebody you know who could benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know about the information. Let's keep the Bahamas clean. Let's get these people who want to go back to Grand Bahama, back to Grand Bahama, because that's their place. Let's love each other today, Bahamas. And let's love the earth today and every day. You're tuned into 96.9 FM. It is 11 a.m., and that means Lee Van Miller and Unleashed is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.